Alright guys, on today's episode, we wanted to take a moment to speak about the current events in America today. I personally just want to take a moment of silence for George Floyd and the others lost during this time. It's a tragic occurrence and I cannot even begin to understand. So, Maddie B and I would like to take a moment of silence to show our respects. All right, let's get toasty.
A lot going on.
It's been a week.
We were gone a week, and what have we done in a week? I mean, besides kind of the market updates that we just had, but
yeah,
when was the space launch? Was it last Saturday, or was it the Saturday before?
Oh shoot, no. Yeah, it was this last Saturday. It was this last Saturday so, the space launch happened. Yeah, and before that it was the Wednesday, Thursday before.
They
that.
Actually just did another one last night. But
another one?
That's yeah, unmanned.
Wow.
SpaceX is just like, two in a week, no big deal.
Well, because they can use the same freaking rocket they just used if they want.
If they wanted, I don't think they did, but if they wanted to, they definitely could.
I wonder how that it takes. What's the restoration on that, you know?
The other one landed safely, though.
Nice.
Yeah, like, what? 10 hours later or something like that? I don't know. Hmm. Exactly.
Well, okay, so today we're going to talk about the... just rioting in general. We're going to talk about it because obviously it's current and just kind of the history behind all that in America. You know, what it takes to riot, why we do it, how is it a, you know, what... I would love to have a sociologist on the show. But what compels a human to become so innately angry at what's going on to destroy their very own land? And it's, some of this stuff is
I have a theory on this.
Almost, some of this stuff is almost like, obviously I can't understand, I'm not there, but you almost think, okay, wow, that makes sense because of how this, you know, how it got to this point. It makes sense. And then other times you're just like, I don't know if it does make sense. I'm not sure. I'm not there. I'm not doing it. But hopefully we can get some people on the show that went to the riots and can actually tell us their experience. That's what I'd like to know on this unbiased media network that we call it. So, but today, yeah, let's talk about riots. Let's talk about the history of it. Let's see what we got. Let's see what we can come up with.
So real quick, I was thinking, you know, the people that are rioting, I don't think the people that are rioting and looting necessarily are the angry ones. I think the angry ones are the protesters. You know what I mean? I think most of them are directing anger towards protest. I think the people that are rioting and looting are just taking advantage of those other people's anger. I don't think necessarily they're angry themselves. I don't think they care.
They're like almost separate. It's almost a separate crowd.
Yeah, they're out for the money. The looters specifically, I think, are out for the money.
Wow. That's interesting.
And you look, a lot of them have been asked questions by, you know, random reporters, YouTubers, or whoever's filming them at the time, and a lot of them will just say, no, I'm here for the money. I guess I'm here for George Floyd a little bit, but I mean, these people are carrying like shoe boxes full of, you know, stolen shoes and stuff. So
wowzers. That is an interesting concept.
I feel like those people don't care.
It's interesting how you see, and if you ever talk to somebody that goes to one of these things, they say, you know, It starts peaceful. It starts like a normal protest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing really weird about it going on, and you know, there's always this table turn of events that happens, you know, almost of course close to dark, and then all of a sudden you have this riot happening, and you know, it's a he said she said thing at this point, but
yeah, like a who fired first type of thing sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, we just talked about Waco a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, how crazy that we kind of reflect on that, and then
it's a weird deal, and you know what side we kind of err on anyway, but it's hard to say. It really is.
Yeah.
So riots in general, though, I mean, when have we had another riot like this scale? I think every single big city has had that, you know, so far this time.
Man, I don't know when it spread from big city to big city like this. I cannot think of a time when it just caught on and all the big cities instantly were just up in arms about this. You know, usually it's like, you know, Ferguson was Ferguson. Remember, that's when the Black Lives Matter began. It was exactly 4 years ago. Which is kind of weird too, how it happens like that. It's almost cyclical. But and then again in 92, Rodney King was like savagely beaten by LA police, and when they acquitted all of them, LA just burned to the ground, like huge swaths of LA, like millions and millions of dollars in damage. Way worse. I'm pretty sure it's way worse than anything we're seeing right now, but I'm not entirely sure.
It's
pretty bad though.
I don't want to be extreme, but I mean, these guys are these people out there that are rioting and destroying whatever's in their path. It just seems like they're attacking their own land. I don't understand. And I don't know if I'll ever understand that sentiment. It's just crazy. But I think riots in general, like you said, maybe it is separate. And we look back at Martin Luther King, of course, because a lot of people are comparing to him in this case for peaceful protests. But you know, I mean, whenever he was on the same bridge, not same bridge, he was on a bridge on the march. I don't know, the main march.
Selma.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the bridge, you know, he was stopped. Just like the exact same scenario as we have now on, like, you know, we're in DFW, so in the Fort Worth 7th Street Bridge. I guess there was a Denton Bridge. The square. It was in the square. Never mind.
Okay.
Anyway, it was the same scenario there. They're on the bridge. They got stopped. They can't get into downtown. And at that point, you have the law enforcement that's, you know, their barricade, right? Well, even whenever Martin Luther King was marching, it ended probably, you'd say, poorly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It did. And, you know, they were like, peace out, I'm out, you know. A lot of the people that were not into fighting and everything else, just like Martin Luther King advocated for, no fighting, no violence, would leave. They're gone. We see the same thing happening here, I think. People that are, you know, mad because of the situation know that the fight right then and there is not necessarily what's going to change society.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, like, I feel like a lot of the anger is the repetition. Like, we were here, you know, almost 30 years ago, you know, 28 years ago with Rodney King. So it doesn't feel like much has changed for a lot of the, for black people. You know what I mean? They literally see this guy getting killed on a video, just like 28 years ago, same thing, guy getting almost killed. But Rodney King even came out. I mean, he lived, obviously, and he came out after the, I'm just going to say incident, and after they were all acquitted and the rioting had started, he just said, you know, people, please be peaceful. Like, this is not any way to go about bringing change for your cause.
I watched an interview with George Floyd's brother. I can't, yeah. The name escapes me, but he was saying the same thing. You know, this is not about, you know, violence, and I don't think you guys, that's not about if you're fighting for it or you have a riot going, it's not, that has nothing to do with George Floyd, you know, which I don't know, I'd have to agree with, you know. But it's, I just think that Americans right now just keep searching for an answer to all of these things, and they just keep getting, they may just keep getting the wrong thing, or maybe it's just not what they want to hear, or it's, you know, media controlling the narrative. And
I feel like a lot of it is that. I feel like a part of it is just bad policy. Unfortunately, a lot of Democrats believe that defunding the police is a solution to this right now. Eric Garcetti of Los Angeles just cut the police budget by like... over $100 million. I can't remember what the exact figure was, whether it was 250 or 175 or something like that. But over $100 million for LA. That's it.
Logistics say California. What is from a logistics standpoint, not even opinion based, what would that do to a city, you know?
They're going to cut cops' pensions and salaries, and no one's going to want to be a cop, and you're going to get the lowest quality people doing the job. And that's the problem, is a lack of training for police officers, a lack of community outreach, and a lack of simply following protocol. And community outreach is huge. If you know your community, you're going to start to know people's routines, you know? And
yeah, it's like you're going to be a better
police officer because of it.
The small town sheriff. Yeah. Speaking of Waco earlier, the sheriff that knew the people.
Exactly.
And knew that
he was about to bring peace to that whole situation. And he was
going to, yeah. No, of course not.
Federal government.
But he had it.
Yeah.
Because he knows the people. It's community outreach that matters.
Exactly.
Even whenever someone has done something wrong, community outreach matters, yeah, for sure. It can be the difference between, you know, tear gas and no tear gas, a peaceful de-escalation.
Exactly, right. And us being in Fort Worth, we saw them basically kneel with the protesters, pray for a little
bit.
The cops kneel with the protesters and prayed for a little bit, and then it just kind of fizzled out and everybody went home and that was it. I mean, I have video on my phone of police helicopters like circling over my house. There's two of them.
Yeah.
Right over the area where they were, just keeping an eye on everything. And it was overwhelming police presence in downtown Fort Worth. So it felt like 100-1 anyway.
Well, sure.
But the whole point is it was a peaceful de-escalation. The people protesting felt like they were being heard and the police felt like they were understanding and listening to the protesters. So I think it was a mutually beneficial encounter.
Yeah, I think similar things happened in Denton, from what I heard.
Yeah. North Texas is just pretty awesome.
And or with everyone as they did it, you know, so. That's our take, I guess, on the current events today. I don't have the answers, obviously. I can't do that. I know that's what we want. Everyone wants that, a solution, right? But you cannot skip it. If we skip the solution and just kind of mosey on our own way, I don't think anything's going to get solved.
Yeah, nothing's going to change, which is kind of what we've just been doing. We've just been kind of kicking the can down the road, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of it really has to do with, like I said, community outreach and police training. And the thing is, if your police are underfunded, that's a huge problem. Like, they put the money in education, so it's like, I guess they put it somewhere decent, but at the same time, what does that mean? The cops are going to have outdated bulletproof vests, they're not going to have the right equipment, they're not going to have training as good, because they're going to have to get cops out there faster. I'm not going to be able to afford to train them as well. And then specialty training, and then number of police officers, and then quality of police officers.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is go down. Police officers getting in without having the right credentials still, you know, because of connections, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And that'll happen more often if you start, you know, cutting the funding, I guess.
They're going to have to get corrupt because they're not making any money doing their day job, being a cop, you know what I mean? So...
Yeah, when we talk about problems and everything, there's multiple problems here. It's not one side or the other side, really. I think it's more of a there's a logistical problem, and there's also like an America problem, but not necessarily one side has problems and the other doesn't. I wouldn't say cops don't have problems, and I also wouldn't say the Black Lives Matter side of things doesn't have problems. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think there's multiple things to look at, but the issue is that, you know, media overpowers a lot of things right now with the way they report you know, you'll never see all of a video, you'll never see all of a quote, you'll never see all of everything, really. And communication is key to any relationship, and it's also the context matters on anything as well. So, I mean, therefore, I think you just...
It's at the point now where...
The saying, stay woke, back, I guess, whenever it came around, actually became a thing. It was a slang term. That part of the saying, you know, basically means, you know what, keep your eyes open and stay, like, you know what
stay
I mean?
Alert, stay alert.
Stay alert to everything that could happen and everything really going on.
Yeah, and the thing with that is,
that,
like...
That matters.
You yeah, know, you gotta... You gotta...
Oh my gosh, it sounds so cheesy coming from us, but like,
yeah, that's I mean,
it. What are you gonna say, man? All right, Toasters, it's that time again. I don't often get the chance to tell you how I got started, and honestly, I don't want to bore you with the entire story. Actually, if you want that, you can check out my website at skyfi.co. One of the main things that made it super easy to get into podcasting for me, though, is Blueberry. Blueberry is absolutely one of the best podcast hosting services around, and it's priced cheaper than most of them, even Podbean. The fact is, a host is normally just a host. But Blueberry is more than that because they created a stellar WordPress plugin that makes it as simple as writing a blog post to upload and distribute your latest and greatest episodes. How awesome is that? I don't want to ruin the recipe, so I won't go too far into the details, but I think you get it. If you've ever wanted to get yourself out there and start podcasting or creating new exciting content, now's the time. The hardest part is actually starting. And trust me, I get that. Hit me up with any questions you might have on podcasting at my email listed in the show notes. Peace, love, and podcasting. Now, back to the show.
You got to look at both sides, and at this point, you really have to just fact check everything. Like, no matter what you see, it's like, oh... Now I gotta go see if that actually happened. You know what I mean? Like, you see a news report. I mean, I see fake, literally fake news reports. Not necessarily fake, but untrue and very quickly put out. You know what I mean? Like, they just rush to get this out because they need to break it.
Yeah, they ASAP. They have to have the report before everyone else does.
Yeah, they don't do their due diligence, and I mean, people pay for it.
Yes, people, and you mean the people actually listening in. That's the thing. Yeah.
Or even people, you know, just skimming headlines. You know,
media,
if you just skim
the
headlines.
The company may not get hurt for it, but the people that are reading the headlines, you know, that affects them somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Tomorrow, their life could be changed because of a headline they wrote. Now they're boycotting this or not doing that. Or, you know what I mean? And
the New York Times, I think that was their editorial, like wrote editorials against the New York Times. Like,
what do you mean? Why did they do that?
Because they didn't like the way the New York Times was handling protesters, like reporting on protesters.
So the New York Times
editorial board, like,
kind of for freelance. So they were like, "What the heck are you guys doing?"
And then, yeah,
interesting.
I heard
well,
it.
That's checks and balances in a news reporting agency, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but it's themselves, you know. If you don't like what your employer is doing,
right,
and you feel that strongly about it, why don't you quit? Or why not?
Right. Edit somewhere else or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. I mean, to an extent, yeah. So just recently, this happened. This is a prime example here. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, basically responded to Trump's, you know, actions, tweets, whatever, posts about how he, what did he say? He said, He said something that was, you know, something Trump would say. I don't freaking know. It was some sentence he said, and Zuckerberg just stood by it. Basically, he was saying, if you're going to riot, then we will have guns, or we will come in with guns, or something like that. It was something like blatant, right? And it was like, okay, you know, whatever. It sounds like Trump, and you know, clearly people were affected by that, you know.
Yeah.
But Zuckerberg himself was like, you know, I stand by it, because basically, in Zuckerberg's position, he doesn't want, I don't think, it seems like he doesn't want, you know, government regulation. Of course, no big tech company like that wants that.
Exactly.
And so there are two sides to that that he has to appease, first of all. But second of all, it's, you know how they said they were going to regulate different politics and fact checks and everything else. Well, that's not a fact or not a fact. That's just Trump posting something that he might have wanted to post. I'm not sure how I really view that. But I know that at the end of the day, the employees, a lot of employees, like several hundred thousand employees, were up in arms, and they were like, okay, well, we are staying home from work today. And they were already home, right? But what they mean is they're logging off their computers.
Yeah.
They're deleting Zoom. They're freaking getting out. And then they quit. So that happened. They quit, apparently. I don't know if they quit for the day, quit for the week, quit whatever, but they quit.
Do you know how many people?
I don't know exactly. I know it was a lot.
Curious.
You know?
That's interesting.
So they did that. That was yesterday, I think they did that.
Huh.
And the point of that is saying that clearly, if you wanted to do that and you are that serious about it, then you would quit. And I get that. I understand.
And I heard it on Ben Shapiro, and Ben Shapiro was like, and I can tell you, I did that. He left Breitbart, and it's true. He left Breitbart because he didn't like the way they were reporting on Trump and the alt-right. And so he was like, I'm out. And he left. And that's when he started Daily Wire and his own publication.
Right. So. And then it led to, you know, bigger and better things, and here he is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably making bank, doing what he does, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, for sure.
He's and he also does a, you know, does different reporting, so. So there's that, and yeah, I mean, I wish I could say I don't like that I don't have any listeners, so I'm going to quit. Nah, just kidding.
How do you feel about the pace of Texas reopening? It's too fast, too slow.
Okay, yeah, we can talk about that for sure. I think that it's fine. It's not hilarious. It's sad to me that you get a bigger headline and so you push aside the actual like sickness at that point.
Yeah.
So everyone was talking about how like we're gonna reopen and you have to have 17 cases.
Yeah.
17 days, 3 days, no cases. I don't know. It was some amount of days without this many cases. So I think it was 17 cases total in your county to reopen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a word, not a peep. I haven't heard a single report in the mainstream about the case number of in Texas or Georgia or anything for that matter. Mm-hmm. And I still see masks. So... So what's going on here? And like I'll say again, Americans are just looking for correct answers, and no one is telling them. I don't know.
Yeah, everybody has an agenda. So it's like, where do you go to find the truth? And I feel like honestly, you really just have to use yourself, use common sense. You know what I mean? You got to look at what statistics are out there, and just really think. You know, is it really all the hype it is, whatever it is, whether it's COVID or the riots and everything going on right now.
I mean, I had a customer say he's still worried about it and he's not going to get sick. There's no way. And he's wearing gloves and a mask no matter what. He's keeping his distance. And he's like, I don't care. I'm going to be doing this long after this is over. And I'm like,
you just turned a guy into a germaphobe for life.
Turned a guy into a germaphobe. Yeah. For a possible strand of the flu.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it was Benjamin Franklin said that those that, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but those that sacrifice liberty for security deserve neither. And I was like, oh, what happened to statesmen like that?
Yeah.
Just brutally harsh and honest. Like, here's another good one. I think it was, Grover Cleveland. Grover Cleveland. Coolest Democrat ever. He was definitely a conservative. He would have been a Republican today, most likely. But he was president twice, right? In two non-consecutive terms. So he was our 22nd and 24th president. And Rutherford B. Hayes served in the middle.
Yeah.
I think. But anyway, Grover Cleveland, during his second term, everybody loved him. He narrowly lost re-election. But So Grover Cleveland, his second term, Texas, a huge drought hit Texas. And everyone was like, well, is the federal government going to bail out the farmers? And he was like, he was a Democrat, mind you. And he was like, I don't see anywhere in this here constitution where it says federal government is supposed to bail out private farmers. Where does it say that? Doesn't say that anyway. I don't have the authority to do that. I can't do that. I'm sorry. And so farmers just lost all their crops, and it was a huge drought. I think it was like 1892, something like that. And, man, just like the sticking to your guns, sticking to the Constitution, and sticking to the rules. You know what right. I mean? I feel like,
yeah, I'm there. And I
feel like following the rules is extremely important. And we're losing that. We lost that with just about every president in the 20th century just took it and just ran with it.
Right, because now I think that anyone that might disagree or not like that can start, you know, their group that's going to, you know, fight that. You know, like government needs to bail out farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Farmers United or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then there's a huge lobby, and then it's like, oh, which, if I don't vote to bail out this guy, I'm not going to get reelected. So
yeah, exactly. And then at this point, it's just stupid politics and yeah. stuff.
So everybody's getting bailed out constantly all the time, and now it's the point where we're about to start getting UBI.
Yeah.
And it's...
Yeah, it is at that point almost.
And golly. I'm like, oh my gosh. Unreal.
So, let's take a break.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. What's up, everybody? This is the Toasty Podcast. And, we are covering rioting. Imagine that, because it's current, and we need to get going on that. There's a lot more answers people want. Mm-hmm. People want the answers, and I don't have the answers, but I'd like to talk about it.
Got some facts.
You know what? I kind of want to start doing like a fact of the day, you know, where maybe you guys send them in, maybe you tweet them, maybe you email them. You know, do whatever you have to do to find us.
Or like a This Day in History.
Sky Day and Maddie B. And you know what happened 99 years ago?
This week.
Just about this week, yeah. It was a massacre. And it was the massacre. It was called a race massacre, which that's crazy.
It's really intense.
Sad. In Greenwood District of Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was one of the most prominent concentrations of African-American businesses in the United States during the early 20th century. It was popularly known as America's quote-unquote Black Wall Street. It was razed to the ground, which actually means burned to the ground, in the Tulsa Race Massacre of 1921, in which white residents massacred as many as 300 black residents, injuring hundreds more. And I know that's not what anyone wants to hear, not even me. Obviously, we don't want to hear about this kind of stuff. It's just one of these facts that many people may not even know. And that's mm-hmm. a big amount. That's a big number of people being massacred. You know, I don't know what the numbers are for genocide. I guess genocide is a lot greater than that. But 300 people, that's insane.
Yeah, it's definitely
that was how was that even allowed? And this is 99 years ago. The riot was one of the most devastating massacres in the U.S. history. And it destroyed the once thriving Greenwood community. And I think that there's a lot that we can gather from this mm-hmm. and much more that we should, you know, learn from, you know.
Yeah, I think just not forgetting about it is important. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the cool thing is, the good news here,
the history.
The light on the other end of the tunnel. I don't know if there's any light on the internet on this one, but 10 years after the massacre, surviving residents who chose to remain had rebuilt much of the district. They accomplished this despite the opposition of many white Tulsa political and business leaders and punitive rezoning laws enacted to prevent reconstruction. And it continued as a vital black community until segregation was overturned by the federal government during the 1950s and 1960s. So, all that to say, they held true, and they conquered it.
Conquered diversity and adversity.
I there's a lot to say here, and I think that, ancestry matters, you know?
Yeah.
I can't say that I would be, directly feel what my ancestors feel if it were my ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it might change the way I see things too. So it is how it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, all that to say, with this podcast, people just want answers. We want answers now. All of America wants answers, and we don't want the answers from the mainstream media.
We need feedback too, you know, whether you agree with us or not. Or you just have a comment, or you've got an interesting fact that you just want to throw out there. Cool.
Stay toasty.
Stay toasty.
Toasty.